All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. Read, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
All right. All right.
And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left.
Yes.
The king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food.
Yes.
I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, and naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.
All right, all right.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
In the presence of the Lord. Amen. Today, I want to entitle this message, Blessed People. Blessed People.
Right? All right.
Y'all catch that?
Oh, yeah.
Blessed people. Blessed people.
Uh-huh.
I know you've heard probably before another version of that says hurt people. Hurt people. Because sometimes when you're hurting on the inside, you have a tendency to lash out and to hurt others.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And often that statement is true. But I want to talk today about people that have been blessed.
Uh-huh.
People whose chains have been broken.
Yes, sir.
People whose lives have been transformed. People who have made that critical decision to follow Christ.
Amen.
Say, where he leads me, I'll follow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll go with him all the way.
Yes, sir.
Because I've decided to follow Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm talking about those people
who
have given their lives and themselves to God.
Yes.
And God has called them unto himself. The answer that call. Bless people. Bless people. I want to begin by asking a question. Good works. Good works. The good things that we do. The good things we do. Whether it's helping out a neighbor, cutting an elderly person's yard, the good things that we do, preparing food for one that may be sick, the good things that we do, mentoring a younger person, the good things that we do, all the good things we do when it comes to salvation, are they cause or effect?
Uh-huh.
You know.
All right.
The good things you do, the good works we do as believers, are they the cause? Do they cause us to be saved? Or are the good things we do the effect of us already being saved?
Yeah.
this thing. I've been working on this idea, trying to bring clarity for 35 years almost. And I have done a good job. Well, some of y'all, some of us haven't quite got it yet. Listen, listen. There's nothing you can do.
Amen.
Right. Be saved.
Right.
Amen. I'm saying this because when we look at this text that we're going to look at, it's going to seem like to you that what the Lord is saying is if you feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick, those that are in prison, because you do those things, I'll let you into heaven. That's what it's going to seem like before I explain it. And some people, some are trying to do that. If I could just do enough good, do enough good things, I think God will allow me to go to heaven. If that's true, then your good works are the effect. Wait a minute, the cause. You say my good works don't cause me to go to heaven. Why do you go to heaven? Call a new good work. Amen. I go to work cause I help people. Cause I'm kind. So you're saying the good things you do are what causes you to be able to get into God's kingdom and to live with Him eternally. And I'm saying that's average. That's average. It's not the good works that makes you heavenly bound, but it's because the reason why you do good, you don't do good to be blessed. You don't do good to be blessed. You do good because you're already been blessed. You've been blessed, you're being blessed. That's why you do good. You don't do good to God, I want to be saved, but when God saved you, and He comes into your heart,
yes, sir,
and changed your heart, then you can't help yourself.
Right.
You gotta do good.
Yep.
So the evidence of you being changed and being a believer and being an authentic follower of Christ is that you've been changed and then you see good works.
Yes, I have.
Because
you've
been changed. Right? Most of us, but a whole lot of people outside these walls will not follow the Christ and go, oh, if I'm this boy, I think I'm going to heaven because I've done a whole lot of good stuff. And even some people in church believe that. That's not a good thing to believe if you're in church. Because you may go from church to a place that we don't want you to go. We don't want you to leave, spend all these years in church, and end up in the smoking section of eternity.
Amen.
You're the one to get over in the non-smoking section. I don't want to be in the smoking section of eternity. I want to get over. I want to be in the non-smoking section of eternity. Amen.
Amen.
So another way of saying this, think of a tree. Think of a tree. And the tree has, say, maybe an orange tree. And the tree has fruit on it, or something like oranges in its case. And your good works are the fruit, not the root.
Amen.
The root is where it starts. The blessing of salvation is the root. And then from the root of fruit comes.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen. Don't think that your good works are the root. Good works are not the root. Not what's going to cause you to get to heaven. But good works is the fruit that says, God has already transformed my life. Therefore, I've got fruit on this tree. And that fruit is the good work that we may talk about in today's lesson. It's difficult, but I'm hoping you can get some clarity on that. If I go over it enough and enough, you realize, hey, it's because he's already changed me that I do these things. I don't do these things to get him to change me. I do these things because he's already
changed.
A change has come over me. Amen. Listen, so that's kind of what I want to start with. Now let's get into the word a little bit deeper here. Hope you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 25. You don't have to have your Bible, y'all. You need your sheet. You may need the Bible a little later, but if you got your sheet with the scriptures on it, it'll be good for now. When the Son of Man, now this is talking about when Christ comes back to set up what we call, what theologians call, as his millennial kingdom, a 1,000-year reign. It's when Christ comes back and sets up that period. It's after the tribulation period. Amen. And it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. So everybody, when Christ comes back, all the nations that are left on earth come before him. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. Now, most of the time we look at that phrase and it's kind of foreign to us. But if you have been over there in the East, in the Bible land, Jerusalem, and all the land where the Bible was written, Israel, you often see shepherds who have a flock that's a mixture of sheep and goats.
Yes, sir.
So as they go throughout the day, they have a flock behind them of sheep and goats. But often in the evening, amen, they separate the sheep or the sheep from the goat. Because goats are rambunctious. They just, you know, they just start trouble. Yeah, they want to butt everybody. And sheep are docile creatures. So they separate. Not only that, sheep need, because they have wool, need a cooler place. Where goats that have had need, amen, maybe when there's cold, when it's cold outside, need to go inside to a warmer city. So they're often separated. Throughout the day they're together, but at night they're often separated. When that time comes, they are separated, and the sheep are in one spot, and the goats are in the other spot. Now, we're hoping and praying that, amen, when I share it, kind of, the Lord help me give you maybe a little insight into this, that you can decide, am I a sheep or am I a goat? Amen. So he said to separate the sheep from the goat. We're to that point where there's a separation. Now, he says in verse 33, and he will place the sheep on his right. Sheep on his right. Amen. So all you over here, on the right, y'all will be sheep. Y'all have blessed to be sheep. All this side right here. No wonder why this side was empty a while ago. This is the goat side. That's what it's going on. Amen. All right, go ahead. Sheep side and a goat side. Then the king will say, those on the right, come, ye who are blessed by my Father, inhabit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation. That's the side of here. Come, you that have been blessed. Okay. Y'all already blessed.
Right.
How are y'all blessed? This is what I'm going to talk about. You're blessed by Father. Number one, wait a minute.
the king would say, Lord, on the right, come, you are blessed by my Father, God the Son. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So, before there was a world, before God created the world, he's already preparing a king for you. Anyway, pray for it. Because God, I'm king, and I'm getting ready, because I'm going to have people in my kingdom. So the first thing you get is an eternal kingdom. Eternal means it don't have no end.
Right.
Eternal kingdom. God said to the sheep on the right, you are my sheep, and I've been preparing an eternal kingdom for you even before the foundation, the beginning of the world. That's a blessing.
Amen.
That's a blessing. For you on the right side. Amen. But not only that. Now this is where you might need your Bible. This might where you need your Bible. John 10. Because you say, well, how can I? Because I want you to be able to tell. Amen. How you get on the right side. You get right with God and be a sheep. John chapter 10. Everybody, John chapter 10?
Amen.
It's St. John. Or the Gospel of John. First thing I want you to do, before you get those verses on your outline, John chapter 10, look at verse 11. Look at verse 11, then I get to. I am the good shepherd. This is Christ talking. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Christ died on Christ. Said, I'm the good shepherd. Uh-huh. And the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep.
Right.
A good shepherd, if you're going back to this, at real shepherd illustration, sometimes they would lay down, they put all their sheep in the pen where they were to stay for the night, and the shepherd would lay across.
Sure.
He'd lay across that opening that went for all the sheep. Therefore, in order to get to the sheep, you had to go through
the shepherd. Yeah.
And often, if you got up and you saw sheep straying and wandering throughout the hill, you would know that something had happened to that shepherd.
Right.
Often they found that shepherd somehow had been slain by a wild animal or a robber or something. Because the only way those sheep would be around is if first you had to take the life of that shepherd. Because he would give his life for the sheep.
Amen.
That's what Christ done for us.
Amen.
That's what Calvary was about. That's what we talk about every Easter when we talk about him dying on the cross. He died on Calvary's cross. Why did he die? Because we had a fine that had to be paid.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Whenever you commit a crime, and we committed a cosmic crime against the God of the whole universe, it was a major crime. That's what a sin is. A sin is treason against the God of the universe.
Amen.
A crime, whenever you commit that crime, a fine has to be paid. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. That's what the fine means. The fine means you got to die, which means not just to die physically like we think about. Death always means separation. When you talk about physical death, you're talking about a person whose body is separated from their spirit. Their spirit is no longer in their body. Their spirit has went to eternity and their body is in the casket. That's separation when we talk about death. But there's another kind of death that even alive people, that is when they're are separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call spiritual death.
Yeah.
Everybody's born in this shape, spiritually dead.
Sure.
You have to reconnect with God. You have to reconnect with God somewhere through your life. What's the reason why we are born dead? Because there's something that separates us from God. And that's our sin.
Mm-hmm.
What separates us from God is a fine we owe. Until we pay the fine, we can't get back to God. Jesus said, you can't pay the fine.
Right.
Because you can't afford it.
Right.
But I'll pay the fine for you.
Oh, thank you, Lord God.
And he went out of Calvary's cross and he died and paid the price for us. He said, I paid the fine. And I was saying, hey, like, you know, if I was going through here and, you know, I was in the hurry to get back home and I went through I was going through you know, the sign said about 45. Yeah. Say like I was going by 105.
Well,
you know. Now, most of the time, I probably won't get up to 105, because most of the time, when I hit 85, there's a buzzer that comes on and says, we've seen the speed limit. But if I was going through world at 105, and he was over there waiting for me in the graveyard, you ain't waiting in the graveyard, right?
Yeah.
Why am I waiting in the graveyard? And I went through 105, he pulled me over. When he caught me, it might take a little while, but he'd catch me sooner or later. Anyway, he pulled me over to Richard. He pulled me over by Richard. They take the Richard to catch me. They pulled me over to Richard and said, hey, you passed, you know, exceeded the speed limit. So, you know, you got a fine. Probably a pretty big fine, because now I broke the speed limit and said I was running from the plane and all that. And I got a fine. Or you got somebody got to bail me out. And I don't have no money. But they say it was just fine. We don't need fine. They fine like $1,000. We need $1,000 fine. You pay $1,000 fine. Really, yeah.
Oh, that's
good. And I don't have no $1,000. I don't have no $1,000, man. So now, if I'm coming with $1,000, I got to go to jail. But then, amen, if somebody who was generous.
All right. Come on,
somebody who was
general. Make it plain.
Half thousand books. So then I called my buzzer. You know, we've been together a long time, my buzzer. You know, I say kids sometimes, but I don't mean it, my buzzer. Mother, yeah, sorry. All right, I go ahead and get this out. If mother buzzer put that $1,000 for that fine, I could go free.
Right.
I can go free because she paid for my fine. So because she paid for it, now I don't have to go to jail.
Right.
When Jesus paid our fine on Calvary, when he died on the cross, he paid my fine for my sin.
Yes, sir.
My past sin, the present sin that I'm trying to struggle with and overcome, and the future sin, he paid for it all.
Thank you, Lord God.
So now, the only reason I don't go to hell is not because I did a lot of good, but I don't go to hell because my sins are paid for, past, present, and future.
Thank you, Lord God.
Oh, he is God.
Yes, sir.
He is a great God, amen.
Yes, he is.
That's why I'm saying about his greatness, amen. So he paid all my sins, past, present, and future.
My God.
So I don't, you know, you don't go to jail. You don't go to heaven because you're good enough. And those of you who think you go to heaven because you're good enough, there's a question you got to ask. How good do you have to be?
My Lord.
Yeah. So you always be. Every night you go to sleep, if you believe that, you say, I don't know if I'm going to make it if you call for me tonight. Because you say, I wonder if I've been good enough. One if I did another good. No, you don't want to live like that. The Bible says Christ paid for your sins.
Sin
would keep you out of heaven. They paid for it and take it away. He said, give me, put all the sin on me. When he died on the cross, he was paying for all of our sins. Not only did he say, put all the sin on me, he said, what? I'm going to exchange. I'm going to trade places with you.
Yeah.
Give me your sin. I'm going to become everything you've done wrong. Give me your sin, I'm going to give you my righteousness, and you become everything I did right. So when God looks at us when we come to heaven, he says, yes, you can enter into the kingdom. You can have heaven, because all he sees when he looks at me is Christ's righteousness.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got it at the guilt.
Then all you can do is heaven. Can you imagine that? You in heaven. Wow. I trusted him, but still that was lifted out of your mind. I don't know. I done done, because you know what you done done. Don't nobody know what you done done. But you know what you done done.
Yes,
sir. And now he said, absent from the body, prison with the Lord, and you enjoyed all the graces of heaven. Mm-hmm. And you realize, wow, I don't deserve none of this. Mm-hmm. Do you know you will be shouting hallelujah and pray? And see, that one, God in heaven, they won't have to do like we have to do down here. Come on, y'all, join in song. Praise God, raise your voice, act like you know you really love it. Oh, now once you're in heaven, you know you don't deserve to be there. The only thing is that you know God's grace and God's mercy in Christ giving his life to you.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. I know it's going to be hard for me. I don't know about that. Because some of y'all probably feel like, you know, I was almost in the past. I was really good enough to get here, but, you know, I didn't get it how I can. But for me, I know no way possible I should be here, God. No. Because you know what's in my closet, too.
Yeah.
There's no way I should be here.
Jesus.
But because he died for me.
Yes, sir.
Because of his amazing grace.
Thank you, God.
I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
So y'all, amen. I won't need nobody to help me praise him. Right. If nobody else want to praise him, I can just praise him. I'm not even going to notice the street paved with gold and the gate with pearl. I'm going to be too... I'm too big to praise.
Yes, sir.
I know I'm half parent. I may have parents up there, siblings up there, and you know you say, "Oh, yeah, I'm gonna be my sister up there." Yeah, maybe later, but the fact. Amen. But soon as I get in there and realize how good God has been to me, I'm not be worried about mom or sisters, that none of that stuff. Now I got to praise them a little while.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, speak up. Yeah. I finished my praise. I have been praising for 3 years. But you know, when we've been there 10,000 years, right down at the sun, we have no less day the same God prayed than when we just been gone. So 3 years, I could have prayed for about 3 years before I realized, it is what the Bible, Bible didn't describe it like this. Well, let me go find some people. Amen. But first, I got to pray for Mr. Ben, because that's how good it
is. Yeah.
That's how good it is. Amen. I'm just trying to... I understand every time I hear that word, I can only imagine.
Yes,
amen.
Yeah.
What it's going to be like. Amen. Because I tell you, I don't know. It's going to be something else.
Yes, sir.
And let's get back to the words. I had y'all turn and I ain't tell y'all what... So that he died for me. That's all that I'm trying now. Go down to about verse 27. Y'all too long. Verse 27. It's an important verse. Verse 27. My sheep.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to try to say to you, if you.
All right.
You
all right.
Sheep. My sheep. This is the way it is. Hear my voice.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, one day you was at church or some Christian person on the job. Or maybe you listen to Billy Graham or some evangelist on TV or the radio. But somehow you heard the word of God. And it penetrated your spirit. And you heard God calling you to become a Christian. My sheep, they hear my voice. Now, those that don't hear the voice, they not. The side don't hear it on the front side. And goats don't mean go here all the time. They on the goat side. All right. And I know them. He said, the one to hear my voice, to hear my voice, to hear me through a word, through a sermon, through amen, and spending time with me. And they came, they heard me calling them to be a Christian, calling me a follower. And they said, okay, I'll follow you, Lord. I'll go where you go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll obey. Throughout my whole life, I give my whole life to you. You give one thing to my life. Let's have, or you heard the call. And he said, I know him.
Uh-huh.
I know their name. I know their address.
Hallelujah.
I know their condition.
Right.
I know their license plate number.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I send angels to them. Take care of them.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Send angels to them. Amen. Watch over on the dangerous highway. I know me. I know what you're going through. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. God knows what you're going through. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows, amen, how many bills you got, how much each bill is. God knows you. He knows how many times you've been hurt in this life, how many times you've been rejected. God knows you. Nobody else understands you and knows you like God knows you.
Come on now.
He knows. If sheep hear his voice and they follow him, they ain't going to follow anybody. Because they're accustomed to his voice.
Right.
They follow him. And they know him. Listen, he said, they know him. Because, you know, there were some people who did some good stuff in church. You know, they did some miracles in church. And they got to help. I don't know if they were in heaven. Let's say they were in judgment day. And they said, God, you know, we've done some miraculous things on earth. And God said, depart from me. I don't even know you.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good work. It wasn't a good work. They thought, oh, I done a couple good words. You know, I got me a TV show. Amen. And God said, I don't even know you. Depart from me. My sheep. Put my glasses on. They hear my voice. They follow me. I give to them eternal life. I can give it to them. Here you go. Eternal life is a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. I give eternal life. Life means you're with God forever. You get to be with God forever. You know how long forever is? It's a long time. It's billions of years. That's why, you know, I always say I'm the best kind of billionaire.
Right?
I'm the best kind of billionaire. Because I'm going to be with God more than a billion years. And it's going to be better than any billionaire ever had.
Right.
So the billionaire, I don't know, have to be covetous of what they got, because I'm the best kind of billionaire. Being with you for a billion years is better than any being that has ever had to be with you, God, is what I'm going to get. A billion years. And then I said, okay, you've been years up, to stop. No. Mm-hmm. It keeps going for another beat. Mm-hmm. And another beat. And another beat. I said, Lord, how good is God, Aaron? I've been there 4 million years. It is just starting.
Yes, sir.
And that's why we got to get folks saved.
Right.
Because this is the non-smoking sex. Just think if you're in the smoking sex. In a billion years past. You don't want nobody to be there. You don't want your worst enemy to be there. It's a terrible place. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me, and I know them. And I give them eternal life. So not only does he let us into his eternal kingdom, he gives us eternal life. Mm-hmm. The last part is another difficult thing. Another difficult concept. I like these difficult concepts sometimes. Like in the tomorrow, this is. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will. What's that next word? Never. Y'all got y'all Bibles open? Alright. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Alright. They shall never perish. They ain't gonna perish. I mean, they ain't gonna never go to
Because the perish meaning life be destroyed on the left side.
Amen.
They will never perish. They'll always have life. They'll always be with God. They'll never perish. Some people prefer to call this once saved, always saved. I like to call it truly saved, always saved. Because when you're truly saved, you'll always be saved. Because what saved you didn't save you.
Right.
You didn't do nothing to save you.
Right.
And you can't do nothing to unsave
right.
you.
Oh, thank you, Lord God.
Well, back to the Bible. I know this is going to be hard. Y'all may have to look over this a few times. No, they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand.
Yeah.
This is power. Says, hey, I got hold of you. All my power is going to keep you safe.
Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus said, all my power, that's what he mean by this thing. All my power is going to keep you safe. Ain't nobody going to be able to. Some Bible said, nobody, but the best translation said, no one. Sometimes they say no person, but I want to know you a person.
Right.
But some demon in hell may try.
Right.
Come on, but I'm glad it says no one.
Right.
Jesus, I got you under my power. I got you in my hand. I got you under my care. Can't nobody take you from me. But then he said, well, and not only that, but not only are you in my hand, but my Father.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Y'all thought y'all was in good hand when y'all got that all stick. Jesus, I got you in my care.
Yes.
And can't nobody take you out of my care. I got you. God, I'm trying, I'm struggling, and I'm falling sometimes. I got you.
Real, I got you. Yes.
God, I blew it again. I got you.
Yeah, Lord.
I got you.
Thank you.
But not only do I got you, but my Father, who is greater than me,
yes,
he got you too.
Yeah,
my God. Me and the Father got you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's saying about the Holy Spirit, but Ephesians tells us we're sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
So, amen. The Father got us, the Son got us, and we've been sealed.
Yeah, Lord.
Y'all don't hear me. You know what it means to be sealed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's like when you're in the railroad, they seal the car.
Yeah.
That means it's secure till it gets to its destination.
Yes, sir.
And what I'm saying, the Holy Spirit has a seal
all
the way from earth to heaven.
Yeah.
And we're in the Father and the Son's hand, and there's nobody who's incomparable to the Father and the Son. So how safe can you be? Simply saved won't make you safer. You can have 4 or 5 alone here in a vault, have a safe room in your mansion,
but
you'll never be safe as you are with God.
Yes, sir.
That's security.
Yes.
That's security. Amen.
It really is.
I'm safe. Safe
in
his own.
Yeah.
You know, I heard y'all been a few yesterday. Y'all heard it before. He was talking about Lazarus. Y'all remember Lazarus, the poor man?
Yeah.
They laid outside the rich man, you know, laid outside on the porch, and laid outside the gate, and the dog lifted his sword.
Yeah.
And it said, Lazarus died.
Yeah.
And God said, listen, we got him. I got it. Jesus, you got it. Jesus, I got it. Holy Spirit, you got it. I got it. But then it said, probably going to send an angelic escort.
Right.
And here comes 2 angels.
Yeah.
Amen. And shade.
Yes, sir.
With the little, you know, microphone.
Uh-huh.
Security. We're going to run security called the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hey, sit up down here with you, Lazarus.
Yeah.
I know they didn't care about you on earth. I know you hung out by the gate. You didn't have no money. You wrecked. You shit. So, only person that didn't care about you was the dog. But now, because God knows you, you a sheep. He's sending an angelic escort.
Yeah,
right. Yes, sir.
And then the rich man died.
Okay.
Frisco with. He just opened up his eyes and hey. Oh Lord, I'm on the smoking. I'm in the smoking section.
My Lord, have mercy, have mercy.
So we got eternal security. When I say we are blessed, we are really, 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 really blessed. I don't know if y'all can ever even imagine how blessed we are.
My Lord, thank you, Father.
When you've been blessed, you're blessed.
Yes, my responsibility.
You're blessed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? When it comes into your heart and saves you, not only does he save you from the penalty of sin, but he comes in your heart and he saves you from the practice of sin.
Yes.
Somebody said we won't be sinless, but we all are sinless.
Less.
Right?
Yes, yeah.
Sir. Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You won't be sinning, but every day you're sinning a little less.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Every day y'all cut a little less, brother.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Try to cut a little less every day. Amen. Amen. Try to be a little bit better every day. Why y'all at that? Try to do. Amen. Every day be a little less selfish.
Yeah.
A little less greedy. A little less vile.
Ouch.
Forgive a little more. Yeah, God, work on me. Work on me, Lord. A little less lust.
Yeah.
Amen. Say, Lord, work on me. Make me more like you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to be more like you. And then he gives us compassion. So when we see a need, we meet the need.
Yes.
God, you can tell a believer is compassionate. Especially the one, how can you be a believer in another believer? Number one, you ought to be compassionate for believers and unbelievers. But if you believe in even your own brother in Christ or sister in Christ is in need, and you have it, and you just say, go and be warm. Amen. Not that much. I don't know. I don't even know how many coats I got. At least 6, 7. And then I see another believer, and they walk into the church, and they cold. And I got 6 or 7 coats. And I said, man, I know you're going to come in the church. It's all right to come in the church, but by next week or as soon as I can, either I need to get up one of them coats, or I need to go to the store and buy them a coat. Because my coat might be too big. If they, my coat's too big for them, and I got a little change, I need to go to the store and buy them.
Amen. Amen. It's true.
Cool.
That's real.
Because I just can't look at people. You see somebody hungry?
Yeah.
And your pantry is full?
Amen.
And your icebox is full?
Right.
And you say, oh, well, I'm going to pray for them.
Yeah.
No, they the one need to be prayed for. You the one that need to be prayed for.
That's right.
Because if your icebox and your pantry and all your shelves are full, if you know other believers that have children, and they will have died before their children.
That's real.
And you can give them some diaper some kind of way.
Amen.
Or other believers in prison. Even a believer that a man would say to put him in prison. We need to be there to minister to them.
Amen.
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 When they're sick, we need to be there. Sometimes the Holy Ghost, because you don't really know what to say. Sometimes when you don't say nothing, just come.
Amen.
Just be there.
Amen.
Just be there when they see. Because sometimes you get to talking, you may say the wrong thing. So sometimes just be there. You get TV with it. Don't say the wrong thing. Just don't know the right thing. Just be quiet. Don't say you don't want to have the same thing that he died. Your mom had the same thing you got. He died 3 years ago. And I need encouragement. Don't tell me. Somebody's been healed. Somebody has been recovered for it. Amen. Tell me. Amen. Talk to me about anything. Tell care who won the basketball game, a football game, or what's going on in church. Don't care if somebody died or they say, I got you. Just tell me about your family and ask me about my family. Don't care, oh, that's bad. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Amen.
When you've been changed, when God has blessed you and He's changed your heart, He changed you on the inside.
Yes,
He gives you a compassion where you cannot look over the needs of others.
Right.
I know you may have some drama going on in your own life. You may have a mess going on in your own life, but God will give you enough compassion that even though your own life is full of drama, you can get past your drama to help somebody else.
Yes, sir.
Yes, man.
Sometimes that's what you need to get. That's why He's putting you there.
Yes, sir.
Because He realized only you can get past your drama, amen, is to help somebody else.
Yes, sir.
Stop focusing on yourself.
Yes,
right.
Oh, for me. Aren't we can sometimes get us out of our pity party?
Yes,
it's us, amen, to get us out of us.
Yes, sir.
Get us to helping somebody else. Get him. Get you out of your own pity party.
Yeah. Right, right. That's true.
Thank you.
What you going to do if you can help somebody else? I know why Brother Faith just come down and came down there last time we had mobile food pantry. I know he's going through.
Mm-hmm.
He's going through with that truck. Amen. But he was down there at the pantry, amen, doing what he could. Now he couldn't do. He couldn't do what some of us do. Amen. He couldn't do what some of us do, but the little bit he could do. Amen. Put it up on the table and open them packages. Amen. Because he realized the way you get past your own drama and what you're going through, you forget about you and go out and try to be a blessing to somebody else. Because I don't care what you're going through and how bad it is. Amen. Somebody else's drama is always worse than you. Somebody's always worse than you. Man complained, you heard it, sir. Man complained about not having shoes in his house, but I didn't even have feet.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody's a lot worse than yours.
Yes.
Find some way to help somebody. Find some way to help the eye and the eye. And said, well, you know that we live in the rain, and the rain came down the house, and the house got all messed up. But the house being messed up because the rain came down and messed up the house didn't stop Aaron from showing up to feed the people that needed food.
Yes, sir.
He said, I came by and feed the folks, then I go back and work on the house later. Because God put a compassion in your heart. That even when you're going through something, you've got to still reach out and help those that are hurt.
Yes, sir.
And that was the evidence. That was the evidence that they've been changed. That was the evidence of their salvation.
Yes, sir.
That was the evidence that God was doing a work in their life. The compassion that they had in your heart. So, that's what I'm saying. God said, yeah, those are the ones. Those are the ones that's going to be in eternity with me for life. Because you can see in the fruit that's on their tree.
Yes, sir.
I was sick. Came visit. I was hungry. And you fed. I was thirsty. And he gave me water. I said, oh, that's such a mind. But you know there are places, some countries, some villages where they don't have water. And they have to go out and get water out of polluted lakes, polluted streams, where animals
use
the restroom and they got to drink that same water. Sometimes that water ends up with a reason why their family gets sick and their children get sick because they got to stop the same water. So why can't we help? Why can't we contribute to a well for that city and for that village? Why can't we help them? So many people need help. Amen. You just don't realize when you be blessed how much it is a blessing to go to the faucet and turn on the water and have clean water. And we even pay for water that's free. Amen. Amen. We got wine at home. We still, we'll pay $1, $2 for a bottle of water. Rather than put the wine and take it with. And they don't have water. They don't have clean water. You know, some of those are believers, whether they're believers or not. We ought to have heart of compassion. Yeah, let's do something. I can't do everything, but we can do. Can do something. I was sick. I was in prison. I was hungry. Then he said, I was a foreigner. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me.
Yeah.
You didn't build cages for me. You welcome. You didn't separate my children from me. You welcome. I'll be some believers that say I'm welcome. I'm going to welcome. Hopefully they can get their stuff right, get their papers right. But they, even if they're legal, I'm going to treat them right.
Yes.
If they're hungry, I'm going to feed them.
Yes.
If they're thirsty, I'm going to give them a drink.
Yes.
If they're sick, I'm going to be there for them.
Because
I realize a lot of them, the reason why they're coming here is because they, you got to imagine if they went through everything they went through to get here to America, how bad it had to be where they came from. So, my question. Are you a sheep? Or are you a goat? What's the evidence in your life? Or do you have compassion for those that are marginalized and hurting? Or is your life all about you? How big your car is, big your house is, how much stuff you can accumulate. Musicians can come now. One of the Wesley brothers, the founder of Methodism, decided one day he had 30 pounds, exactly lived on 28 pounds. That's, you know, like dollars brought in our economy. See, I can live my life on 28 pounds. He made a pledge to God. When he was making 30 pounds to live his life on 28 pounds, he said, I give another 2 pounds to the poor. And from now on, whatever else comes to my life, I'm going to give it to the poor. And the rest of his life, he lived on 28 pounds. Even when his salary got to be 1,500 pounds, he gave 1,472 pounds. Man, today he had a 2,600 square foot house and went over, amen, overseas and saw how people lived and the little mud huts, how they were struggling for food and what they were going through. And he sold his house. He got less than 1,000 foot square house. And the difference in the amount for his mortgage he gave to the poor. Because he had compassion. He had compassion. Should I tell somebody? I'm asking us, Pastor. I'm asking us, let's be compassionate. We were born to be compassionate.
Amen.
God created us to be compassionate.
Amen.
We are His masterpieces of compassion. We are His workmanship, His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus on two good works. Life is joyless, and boring, and because you have shown the adventure of being a blessing to us. If you're here, and there's never been a time in your life where you remember you gave Christ your life. You said, Lord, I want to follow you, but this morning, as the preacher was preaching, I hear you sing in my heart that I need to be a follower of Christ. And I want to follow you. I want to do what you ask.
make a change in my life. Excuse me, but I made a decision. Today is my day. I'm not letting the devil talk me out of my day. Amen. Because he's the devil. He's telling me tomorrow. He's been telling me tomorrow for 10 years. And tomorrow is not.